Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. If you attended the midweek service last week, you heard about the Jewish Festival of Trumpets. It was a day when God's people would remember Him as their Lord and Creator. And they would blow ram's horns and offer sacrifices. And if you recall, that festival would be the beginning of this day of awe, these days of awe, where the Israelites would spend 10 days preparing for what was to come next, the Feast of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And this marked the height of the Jewish festivals and traditions, for it was the day that God would forgive His people from all of their sins from the previous year. Now, instead of just describing this feast, it might be interesting to participate in it from the perspective of someone who might have attended it with Jesus. See, He celebrated all of these festivals too. But He also knew that God had initiated them as a placeholder until He would send the Messiah to fulfill this covenantal promise that He made to Abraham. And this reality must have weighed heavy on His heart as He participated in these festivals, especially this one, year after year. So let's go back in time. Let's walk with Jesus down this long, dusty road through the gates of Jerusalem. Today is the Day of Atonement, and today there will be a death. God has decreed that there will be a sacrifice. A sacrifice unlike any other throughout that year. See, on this day, the high priest will intercede for us, God's people. He'll offer sacrifices and make atonement for our sins. So we'll begin with the sacrifice of a young bull. And this is a sacrifice that is to atone for the sins of himself and for the sins of his family. You see, he must be clean. His sins must be forgiven if he is to be the people's mediator to God. And only then can this high priest be considered holy and clean and offer atonement then for these people. So he'll then offer a sacrifice of a ram and, once complete, begin a ritual atonement for their sins. Now, to do this, he'll first take two goats and he'll present them to the Lord. And then he'll cast lots. One will be chosen for the Lord, the other is a scapegoat. The Lord's goat will be sacrificed as a sin offering for the sins of the people. The blood from the sacrificed bull, as well as this now sacrificed goat, will be taken to the innermost room of the temple, the Holy of Holies. And that is the place where God dwells among his people. And it's the only time of the year that the high priest is allowed to enter. Now, once in the room, he sprinkles the blood from the sacrifice onto the Ark of the Covenant and onto an altar. And this room will now be considered clean. It will now be considered free from the sins of the people. Now, that was the Lord's goat. The second goat, the scapegoat. The high priest will place his hand on its head. confess the sins of the people, transferring all of those sins to that goat. And then he'll release that scapegoat out into the wilderness where it will wander and eventually die. After that, another sacrifice is then offered, and the bodies of these sacrificed, these animals are then removed from the city and they're burned. Like I said, the scapegoat will wander outside of Jerusalem, weighed down with the sins of the people. And he'll eventually die. But the Israelites, reaffirmed in their covenant with God, will celebrate, for blood has been shed and has covered their sins for another year. No, through no work of their own, but the offerings that they present before God, he has once again turned his wrath away and granted forgiveness. And so they all celebrate, all of them, perhaps except maybe one. So we stand there in that temple court as the sun is setting and it's heralding a new day. We turn and we see Jesus. Imagine him coming to the temple year after year. Imagine him witnessing his people, the people of God, carrying out this ritual. This ritual that was instituted, commanded by God. Imagine him witnessing this precursor to his own sacrifice, knowing that one day he'll be the high priest, he'll be the sacrifice, and he'll be the scapegoat. See, God promised through his prophet Jeremiah that he would make a new covenant with his people. Not like the ceremony that just ended. Not like that would have to be repeated year after year to cleanse them from their sins. No, this new covenant would forever change people's hearts. God would forgive their wickedness. He would remember their sins no longer. It would be a once and for all sacrifice, whose blood would indeed pay the penalty for all sins, for all people, for all time. And for those who allow this blood to flow over them, it covers their hearts. It recreates them in an image of righteousness where they can then stand before God. As Jesus considered these things, he must have been grieved for those in the crowd who would reject God's perfect and final sacrifice. Those who had seen the pictures of Abraham and Isaac, witnessed the picture that God painted in the blood of animals before them, and yet still refused to see his deliverance. It'd be a great price Jesus would pay to redeem so few. Jesus, our high priest, Jesus, who became the scapegoat. He was led into the wilderness. He was tempted, attacked by Satan, and he survived unharmed. He was brought to the temple, consecrated by his Father, and sacrificed. God did not leave his Son in the bowels of that tomb. But he brought him forth to walk the path before us, leaving his footprints for us to follow. It's not a path of our making. Sometimes it's a path that is uncomfortable, but it's a path that takes us home. So during this time of Lent, we recall our own sins, but not so that they can be atoned. That's already been done. We recall them so that we can be reminded of the price that was paid for them. We don't stop there, though. For we are also reminded that God raised Jesus from the dead. It's a victory cry over death. So we can rest in the confidence that through Jesus, we too will be raised on the last day and live a life eternal with God. And on that day, we will fully celebrate the sacrifice that He made and the victory that He won. Please pray with me. Lord, You have sent Your only Son to be the true sacrifice that will atone for our sins. Continue to prompt us this season of Lent to be reminded of His work and to anticipate Easter, when we will celebrate the victory that He won. In Your name we pray. Amen.